I so appreciate what Pastor George was saying earlier, because he was all in my notes. Because one of the things that, let's look at Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start reading at verse 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, Holy Spirit wanted me to give you a reminder today. And so I know Apostle read part of this last week, but I want to read it from the Passion Translation because it so speaks to where we are just in the world. Because you know, being a part of this house, that the words God gives us is not just for this house, it's a global word. You can't sit under an apostle and think the word is going to be just for your local community. And so this is for worldwide, but it's also for us personally. Matthew 24, verse 3 from the Passion Translation, it says, later, when they arrived at the Mount of Olives, his disciples came privately to where he was sitting and said, tell us, when will these things happen? And what sign should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age? Now, I firmly believe we stepped into what's called the kingdom age. I believe we stepped into a time where the kingdom of God is being declared, but the kingdom of God is being demonstrated. The kingdom of God is being understood, because there was a season in the body of Christ where people thought church and kingdom were synonymous, and they're not. People would use the local fellowship and interchange it with the word kingdom and think they were talking about kingdom, but that's not true. We are in a time where the proper place of the local fellowship is taking its place as training centers for people to demonstrate the kingdom. Like it says in Ephesians, for apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, equip the saints for the work of service or the work of the ministry. And we are in this season where everybody understands that ministry is not just in the local fellowship. There have been many people thinking I need to hide my gift or leave my job so I can go into full-time ministry, not realizing they were already in full-time ministry and they were getting paid to be in full-time ministry by somebody else. And in this season where people are saying, hashtag, watch me leave and the great resignation and all of these things, some of these folks need to not leave their assignments. All right, all right. Now, I do believe some are being reassigned, but some are being re-signed. And you need to be sensitive to know what's what, because you cannot allow the excitement of the crowd move you out of your place of destiny. You can't be moved by the movements. You have to be moved by Holy Spirit. So it says, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, at that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. Now, after reading that, I just want to just quote a later verse that we won't get to read. But, you know, the scripture says, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived, right? A lot of people quote that, and a lot of people quote it, but really miss the one or two words that are super key in that passage. If it were, with three words. Because a lot of believers are so scared of being deceived that they don't walk in the revelation God has given them. It says if, meaning it cannot be possible for believers walking with God to be deceived. You cannot have the spirit of truth living in you and you walk in deception at the same time. But the key is you have to be sensitive to his voice and sensitive to what he's saying and allow him to break the scripture down to you. There are too many people who study scripture from a purely academic standpoint. Yes, you want to look at history. Yes, you want to look up Greek and Hebrew words. Yes, you want to pull out the culture. But after you do all of that research and exercise your mind, which God gave you, you have to allow Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Because he's the author of the book. The scripture says men wrote as they were moved by Holy Spirit. So the author can tell you what I meant when I wrote that if you just ask him the question. Because there are too many people denying the power of God but believing for a miracle at the same time. And it doesn't work that way. You can't say tongues are not of today, but then want God to do a miracle when you deny the supernatural languages. You can't say, yes, I love pastors, but then say there are no apostles and prophets. Come on now. And so I'm standing here to teach you this because we have to dismantle the spirit of deception, which has seeped its way into multiple spheres of influence in the church, in the education, and in business. So verse 5 says, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority. King James said, claiming to be Christ. There have been people throughout American history and world history who have stepped on scene after Jesus claiming to be the Christ. There was a dude in the 1960s who used to be a part of a Baptist denomination who all of a sudden got started dealing with the Freemasons. And if you remember the Freemasons, you need to leave. I'm going to just be real with you because God told me to not hold back, so I ain't. Because here's the problem. The Freemasons at the very, and I don't want nobody to get offended. I love all of you, but I want you to be free. And so my desire for you to be free is greater than my desire of you getting mad at me speaking the truth. Because I have to answer to God for what I do and don't say. He told the prophet, when you prophesy, if you don't say what I told you to say, then your blood, their blood will be on your hands. But if you speak it and they don't respond, then their blood is on their own hands. But see, because I met Jesus when I was 17 and a half years old, after being born and raised in New Age beliefs. And thought I was serving God. I went through what was called a school of mediumship and psychology, where I learned how to deal with familiar spirits. And they would tell me the only time you can communicate with God is at certain times of the day, because after those other hours were for demon spirits. And they would tell me that during those times of the day, I would have to burn certain incense and light certain candles and have a certain altar made out of a certain piece of wood that sits on glass because it couldn't sit on the carpet. And then I would use a glass of water to be able to tell the spiritual activity in the room that I had to change out 7 times before I could put it on this altar. But when God delivered me, I remember, you know how folks say, I remember the day and the time. I don't remember the time, but I remember the day. I was in Detroit, outside of this building, because they called it a church, but it wasn't. Because these folks were deceived, and they were using scripture to teach New Age teachings. They would take the name Jesus out and insert the name of the founder of that organization. And they would pray to him. And they would pray to, and I knew his daughter personally. And then they would talk to, you know, because his daughter was in her 90s when I was a teenager. They would pray to him and pray to his wife. And then they would talk to their dead uncles and aunts and cousins. I remember living in a house where, and I haven't seen a touch lamp like that since, where there was a lamp that would only come on when you touched it. And I remember smacking that thing with the book, it wouldn't come on. Drumming it with pencils, it wouldn't come on. Only when touched by your hand. And I remember that touch lamp would come on by itself every now and then. I remember toilets were flush, not run because something is wrong on the inside, but pure D flush on their own. I remember seeing footprints in the carpet when nobody else was in the house. I remember being at an event and people were because they imitated the Baptist denomination. People were clapping and, you know, doing that and going in. And I remember my mom had this old school tape recorder who's in heaven right now because God delivered her before she before she transitioned, because she was raised in it too. And so I was third generation raised in it. And so you, those of you might remember those tape recorders where you could press play and record at the same time and it would record outside sounds. And so I remember being a kid and my mom used to record them because she would like to listen to them and play them back. One time she played it back and all you could hear was spirits flying around in a room. They sounded like this. Very aggressive. I remember one time being at what was called a convention. And my mom allowed this spirit to talk through her and channel himself through her. And I remember asking my mom, I was like, why'd you do that? She said, because he asked me nicely. Because she was what was considered a master student, where she could control higher level demons or higher level spirits, but I know they're demons. Not realizing you couldn't control them, they were actually controlling you. And people thought they were given psychic readings to help people, but they were given prophesying by familiar spirits and hurting people and didn't even know it. That's part of the reason why I go so hard for God, because I'm like, I spent 17 years thinking I was preaching the gospel and I was preaching something else. I spoke my first time at 5 years old with a pocket New Testament Bible. And the heartbreak I felt when I recognized all of this was a lie. And when God healed me of the heartbreak, took me through the emotional stuff of dealing with the people who I thought lied to me and recognized they were deceived, I shook myself off and I was like, Paul, it's on now. Because here's the thing. That day, the Spirit spoke through my mom and God had a tantrum because nobody was listening to it. I remember watching. I knew something had happened because I looked at my mom and her whole countenance had changed. And then her voice even changed. And then this thing kept speaking through her, I must speak. And nobody was listening. So then, I mean, it was just like one of those movies. Lights start flickering. The sound started cutting on and off. And this thing kept getting louder and louder. I must speak. I must speak. I must speak. So my grandmother walked over, who's in heaven as well. She got delivered right before she died, before she transitioned. God, and let me insert that real quick, because there was a snowstorm. I was living here, and I knew she was in the hospital, and I knew she was about to transition. I had spent time interceding for her. God stopped the snowstorm so I could drive up to Michigan, see her for 30 minutes, and come back, and she got saved. So I'm telling you, so this thing was speaking, so my grandmother walks over there with her two big wands, because she was a teacher of the master level mediums. And on those wands had these Hebrew words inscribed, and you know, she had it all oiled up. And she walks over and she tells it to leave. It says no. She says, please leave. It said no. And they were going back and forth for about 5 minutes. And I'm like, whoa, what in the world? And I asked my mom about that spirit that she allowed channel her. And she said the spirit's name was Serapis. And I did some research. Serapis is this Greek idol that was worshipped, but then also became known as Osiris, who was worshipped in Egypt as the god of the dead. That's why I tell you, when you play with this zodiac sign stuff, you don't know what you're fooling with. I remember watching the movie Ease by You and was grieved because I was like, all of this in there is true. And people were telling me it's just entertainment. No, it ain't. I've seen that stuff in real life. So the spirit of deception is running rampant because there's been people who have tried to deny the supernatural power of God and have caused people to think that they were crazy or something was wrong with them because they see visions or they see angels or they see spiritual substances in the atmosphere. And so they run and look for places they can belong. And now these new age people come get you and say, look, we understand. There's nothing wrong with you. So that spirit of religion pushes people out. And then they run to this spirit of the new age. And then the spirit of the new age embraces them and lets them know you're special. You're gifted. And uses the gifts that God has placed in them and calls them mediums and psychics when they're supposed to be prophets and seers. I remember when I got saved, the first thing God told me, he said, you're not a medium, you're my prophet. I knew I was called to be a prophet, and I knew I was a prophet before I knew anything about being a pastor. So when this founder started fooling with the Masons, what happened is his mind got so twisted that he began to insert Hinduism and Buddhism and stuff from the Quran and all of these other things and created this new thing. And then he really got twisted when he went to Chicago and spent some time with someone who called himself some kind of master. And came back and said he was the Christ. And that's very similar to the founder of the Hebrew Israelite movement, which a lot of folks in this area are getting sucked up into. So the spirit of deception is running rampant, just as Jesus talked about. And that's what the New Age spirit is a spirit of deception. He said, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I am the anointed one. And they will lead many astray. He says, you will hear of wars and revolutions on every side with more rumors of wars to come. But here's what I like what Jesus said. He says, don't panic. Look at somebody saying, don't panic. Those of you watching online, type in the chat, don't panic. He says, don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world's systems is destined to happen. We see right now the breaking apart of the world's systems, and these systems were set up by the spirit of the new age. And so that's why people are panicking, because they see things breaking and there's no foundation. Some folks were so eager to get Trump out of office that they would say, I'll vote for anybody. And then, but not recognizing the guy in office can't save us either. Because the problem is not the person in the office, it's the spirit that they yield to. That's why Russia can say, I want Alaska. I read that last night and had to laugh. Russia was saying, because of your sanctions, we want Alaska back. Dude, get a life. But that's why Iran could say, you owe us reparations for all those sanctions from when Trump was president. Why are they talking that way? All of a sudden, it's a spirit. Verse 7 says, nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be terrible earthquakes, horrible epidemics. People are calling this virus an epidemic now. And famines in place after place. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are like, is Jesus coming? Is Jesus coming? Is Jesus coming? Is Jesus coming? I'm going to tell you what God told me. Because I remember studying the rapture, the second coming, and all of that. Because when I got saved, I dived into the book of Revelation. That was the first book I really studied. And I was thinking about this last night and asking Holy Spirit. He said, these are signs. And Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. And then he reminded me of the disciples when Jesus ascended. And they were standing there staring in the sky. And the angel said, look, what are you doing? The same Jesus that left you, he's going to come back the same way he just left. Now go get to work. So some of you staring in the sky waiting to be rescued, I'm telling you, God is saying go to work. He's saying go to work. Stop staring. Unpack your bag. your rapture bag, where you think you, whatever you think you're taking to heaven, go ahead and pay your bills. Don't think I don't have to pay because I'm about to be raptured up. And go to work. And you don't have to say, Jesus, come get me out of here, because he knows, but he's not coming to rescue you. He's sending you to rescue somebody else. Because we are in Isaiah 60, where it says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then it says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. It's dark out there. It's like dark, but no streetlights dark. But I'm going to tell you this. It says, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. So it ain't too dark because you are out there. And you are called to be the one who sheds the not just the light, but the glory of God. The glory of God is his essence. When you look at that word, Kabod is talking about the essence of God and everything he is. And everything God is health and peace and healing and prosperity as well as power. The essence of who he is what's on you. Now it says, his glory will appear upon you and nations will come to your light and kings the brightness of your rising. People are going to come to you because it's so dark, but they see you operating in glory. I believe, yes, believers are being persecuted right now to this day. In North Korea, people were getting their heads chopped off for being believers. In some other countries, you know, they're waging jihad and killing people for being believers. Right now in Afghanistan, there's the underground church evangelizing the Taliban. But in the middle of all of that, I believe this is not the great tribulation. So you can stop worrying if your Visa card is the mark of the beast, because it ain't. Satan's ego is so big, he's going to make it extremely well known what the mark is. Just like when they played the sound and wanted the Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael to bow at the sound of the music. It was well known that you were supposed to bow when this music played, but they said, nope, not going to do it. Not going to be able to do it. That was a 90s rap song too. Now, this is why Jesus said in Matthew 6 that we need to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Because what George was saying is so true. A lot of times what the enemy tries to do is distract and preoccupy believers with pursuits of basic needs to keep us from focusing on the fulfillment of the assignment and exercising dominion in our sphere of influence. He'll have you concerned about clothes and money and paying your meeting your basic needs and provision. That's a distraction. It's a distraction from walking in purpose and destiny and exercising dominion. If a believer is distracted, their assigned spirit is left to be dominated by demonic spirits. When you are distracted, your spirit, your area in that spirit is left open for demons. That's why he wants to distract you. So instead of advancing the kingdom, you're trying to figure out how I'm going to get this bill paid. And while you're trying to figure out how to get that bill paid, he's in this area running rampant. Introducing New Age teachings right under our noses. That's why God told them in Numbers 33. 51, he says, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. We know the land of Canaan was their promise. It says, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy, say destroy, all their figured stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish their high places. Part of stepping in the promise is to demolish the high places where idols have set up. That's why you meet a little bit of resistance when you stepping into your promise. That's why the grace and the supernatural power of God is released upon you. That's why increased favor has been released, increased wisdom. That's why he's increasing our stature. Because we have to pull down and destroy these idols that have been set up in these places. Let me tell you where they're at. The spirit of deception in this new age has infiltrated the fitness industry through yoga, which has been promoted by this culture as self-care in the form of fitness. They want to tell you that if you do yoga, it's a workout or it's a stretch before a workout. But no, it's not. Yoga is a term that means yoked for or yoked by, into communion with one's divine essence. How are you going to commune with the divine essence of God through a stretch that's not sanctioned or directed by God? Now, you will see a lot of these things that the enemy tries to do are copies of an original. Because in God, we know dance and movement is a form of worship. But now he takes this stretch and try to make it mean something for him. Just like the Star of David, which is on Israel's flag as a nation, Satanists try to use it. And they call it the demonic star. That's God's symbol. It's a symbol of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body, of God and man being one together in communion. But just because then Satan tries to take it and do some kind of seances and do some kind of something with the moon, now all of a sudden everybody's like, ooh, that's a demon symbol. That's a demon symbol. No, it wasn't. They stole it. It's a copycat. Satan cannot create. He can only copy. He can't be everywhere at once. He's only one spiritual being. And he only has a third of what used to be angels with him. The majority of angels said, I ain't fooling with you. Talk that foolishness by yourself. And him and all his boys got kicked out so quick, Jesus said, I watched him fall like lightning. So yoga involves a spiritual connection between one inhabiting a human vessel and one generating the bond. It's the invisible force that inhabited the body or joined it in yoga meditation was usually an ancestral spirit of the person's life. It has its roots in Hinduism and Buddhism. And they believe that certain poses, positions, and postures, along with specified hand gestures and verbal sounds, enable yoga's practitioners to rise above the carnal and commune with one of their many gods. And you going to the store buying a yoga mat and you doing that stuff thinking, I'm going to get these firm abs. You better do some crunches. Because this is how that spirit of deception tries to seep in. Because now you're working out thinking yoga is harmless, but wondering why there are open doors in your life. Now, it says yoga gestures are designed to invoke specific spirits for their powers, attention, or to inhabit the worshiper's bodies. It's tied to nature worship and Mother Earth. We hear that all the time, Mother Earth. And a lot of this creeps into even veganism. Just because you don't like to eat meat and you're on a plant-based diet don't mean you got to hug trees and worship the nature. You see how this coming, how it seeps in? Let's look at the next one. This new age spirit infiltrated education. It's inserted itself into mindfulness practices through perverting the concept of nurturing the whole child. As educators began to really understand the purpose of social emotional learning, part of that come from parents not teaching their kids how to act right before they get to school? Because they didn't have to have social emotional learning. When I was a kid, my mama said, if you go up there and you embarrass me, I'm going to come embarrass you in front of that whole class. And then my grandma was going to come up and have her turn. So, but through the need for mindfulness and to not be so highly structured and test prep oriented, we recognize that teaching is an art as well as a science, and we have to connect with hearts. That's good. But the problem is some of these mindfulness practices, oh man, okay. So some of these mindfulness practices have roots in the New Age. So you have to be careful when they say, oh yeah, we use mindfulness and we do brain breaks. Okay, what do you do on those brain breaks? And I'm going to tell you, that was my timer, so I'm going to tell you this last thing, and then I got to give you some kind of closure. This New Age spirit has infiltrated the world of business. Too often business conferences and the facilitators, they teach on mindset and money mindset, but they pull from New Age teachings. They start teaching about the law of attraction, energy. They have practices and demonstrations and activities where you're releasing your limitations by doing fire ceremonies. Write your limitation down and we're going to burn and let it ascend. I was in a business conference before and they sent us, and it was virtual, so they had to send us the materials in the box, and they sent this little Japanese little figurine thingy. And I say Japanese because they said it originated from Japan. And apparently I was supposed to dot the I as I set my intention for my business. And then when it came to pass, I could dot the other I. I was like, no, thank you. And that thing went right to the garbage. But too often people buy into that because they're trying to learn how to build a business. Which is why, as God is calling people into the world of business, you got to watch who you coach, who coaches you, and who consults you. Because there is no fellowship between Christ and Belial, no fellowship between light and darkness. You can't get strategy from someone who's serving a New Age spirit and think it's going to help you advance the kingdom in your business and help you walk out purpose and destiny. You need to use discernment. Everybody, it's like what Nehemiah said when they were trying to, when Sanballat and them was talking noise, he said, you have no part in this. Everybody doesn't have part in what you're building when you're building something that's of kingdom essence. You get a lot of them talking about, there are a lot of people now that talk about spiritual business and being light workers and empaths. Those are New Age words. Yes, it's good to be understanding of people's emotions, but being an empath means you are tapping into New Age spirits to understand somebody's emotions, and I don't think so. What did they used to say? Homie, don't play that. Now you get people talking about their Reiki masters. There's a church here in this city that did an altar call one time for prayer for healing, and they asked somebody, do you want us to pray for you for healing or use the Reiki stones? Like there's an option. I would take option that includes Jesus, please. Reiki was founded by Michael Usai, and he said Reiki is not a religion. It doesn't have anything for you to specifically believe. And they promote it as a safe way to get spiritual healing. And they say it's all about connecting your energy with divine energy. The word Reiki means is a combination of two Japanese words. One of them is Rei, which means God's wisdom or higher power, and Ki, which means life force energy. Just because they use the word God don't mean they're talking about God. That's why you have to be careful. You know, as we are being understanding and using wisdom to talk to people with other beliefs, and they was to talk about Allah and say where the word Allah means God, but it's not referring to God. Allah actually refers to a moon god. But a lot of Muslims deny that, but when you track it, it refers to a Babylonian moon god. And they'll say, well, the Bible has been perverted. It's been distorted. They'll say it's shifted from what God originally intended. Well, God knew when he wrote the book how to preserve it from being tampered with. I mean, like, they didn't think God would know how that would work, being God and everything. They think he got blindsided by that one. And those are the reasons why they try to get people sucked in. They get you sucked into astrology by using stars and planets to get messages saying that, oh, because the stars are aligned, this is going to happen this day or that's going to happen that day. Or people say, what's your sign? Even on a business forum, they ask for your astrological sign. No, thank you. I don't have one. Because, like I said before, those astrological signs are named after Greek and Roman deities that were worshipped. And the moment you say you are a, and you say this sign, that means you are coming under submission or authority of that deity. And you are giving that deity permission to operate in your life. See, we have to be careful because people who engage in those practices are deceived, and the deception goes so deep simply because some of them see results. They said this psychic told me to do this and it worked. Or I hear business people all the time in these meetings. I use the law of attraction and now I'm making millions. They swear by it. Yeah, they got results. But they weren't the right kind of results. They were the results to keep people away from God. There's a difference between the blessing and false prosperity. False prosperity is what Satan tried to offer Jesus when he said, showed them all the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give them to you if you just worship me. But Jesus took them. Not from Satan. That way, he took it from him by force when he advanced the kingdom. So as you are stepping into your assignment, you have to decide, am I gonna accept a lower offer that causes me to submit to this spirit, or am I just going to take it anyway by force as I operate in the kingdom of God? See, you can't give me what I'm going to take from you anyway. Sorry. I grew up outside of Detroit. I'm just a little gangster like that. What I'm about to jack you for, you can't really just give me because I'm just going to take it. Because God has told us the land is ours and we have to take it, so we don't have to accept less when people try to give us something to make us settle beyond or operate beneath what God has said. I'm not reducing or compromising. Now, some of these things work, and I'm going to close it out. If you look at Revelation 16, verse 13, this is what John said. He said, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world. The deception happens because they feel like they're getting results because these demons are performing false signs. Somebody said, oh, I made something levitate. No, you didn't. This demon just picked up something in front of you and didn't let you see him. This person in the New Age once time spoke in tongues. That wasn't tongues. That was a demon speaking a language he remembered from heaven. Because the scripture says there's a tongues of men and tongues of angels. One other time, God told me this when tongues were imitated, it's because we were in America and he was just speaking a language from another country. That's not tongues. Because you know, you can tell the power of the Holy Spirit. And you could tell genuine supernatural languages. They was like, oh, but, you know, they told me to burn these incense and it worked. Yeah, because those familiar spirits are going to do what you want them to do to get you sucked deep in. Because the moment I began to recognize that I was, that something was off, and I had that encounter with God, I'm telling you, it was just like what Paul described. I was walking down the street in Detroit, outside of this building that was their headquarters. I wasn't feeling what they were talking about, so I was just walking and thinking. And I saw the glory of God in front of me, and everything around me kind of like disappeared. All I was could saw was the glory. And I heard the Father's audible voice, and he said, if what you believe is true, then why this? And showed me something that happened like a movie. And then he did it. Then after that, he said, if what you believe is true, why this? And then he showed me something else. And then he said, if what you believe is true, then why this? And he showed me a third thing. And after that, I said, what I believe is not true. It didn't take anyone passing out a track, because that didn't work. People say, do you know where you're going to go if you die today? That didn't work, because I didn't believe in heaven or hell. I didn't understand their realities, so that didn't work for me. When somebody tried to come and tell me about the scripture but didn't know it, that didn't work either. Because I could take the scripture out of context and quote it back to them better than they could quote it to me. But what worked on me was the demonstration of the power of God. There's no substitute for it. There's no faking it. There's no manufacturing it. It's the pure power of God. That's why I talk so much about the New Age and about the supernatural. Because right after that, I said, what I believe is not true, and I need you to show me what is. I took a year of being away from those beliefs, but not in church yet because I didn't know where to go. And during that time, God was just unteaching me things and reteaching me things, helping me to understand how the spirit realm really works. Because I had seen too much to not believe in it. I've seen demons manifest in front of me. I've seen a demon with four arms try to grab me. And somebody say, oh, that was a dream. No, it wasn't. I was wide awake. And that thing grabbed me, and I felt it. And it slapped me, and I woke up bruised. But when I learned about my authority as a believer, when I learned that I had power because of the name of Jesus, everything changed. And it was like Captain America taking the super serum. It was like, oh, it's on now. I can do this all day. Everything changed when I understood who I was, because that demon came that night and I was like, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here, you foul spirit. And it ran. And there were two of them trying to come. And when the one ran, they turned around and ran too. And then I lived in an apartment with a relative at the time who still believed that stuff. So I went through that house and anointed that house. Kicked everything up out. But then wonder, how did they come back? Then Holy Spirit said, look, you got to understand authority. You're sharing this apartment and you're on a lease with someone else. So he was like, your room, you have total dominion. Their room, they have total dominion. Common areas are common areas. And I'm like, so wait a minute. And he opened my eyes and I saw angels all in the room, in the living room. But then I saw a demon standing on the other side. And he said, your relative that's living with you invited them in, and they have to stay because her name is on the lease. But they cannot touch you. So, to close this out, my God. It is the power of God that causes us to dismantle this New Age spirit that has seeped into business, education, and other spheres of influence. Jesus said in Acts 1 that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And this culture has made it okay to be spiritual, but not okay to be a believer. And they want to cancel you. They want to put you on YouTube punishment, meaning you can't upload videos for a week, and say you're promoting, you're violating misinformation policies. They want to cancel your Twitter account. They want to say you're being insensitive because you're speaking the word. But I'm telling you, we are in the season where we have to not worry about people calling us insensitive. We have to speak the truth in love. And not be like the religious folks who think everything's a demon and condemn everybody. But we have to be like Jesus, where we break the power of those demons and love them into the kingdom. Because a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people who God has delivered from this, and they are looking to feel love. They're looking to feel normal. They're looking to know that nothing is wrong with them because they have a gift and they can see into the realm of the spirit. So we have to demonstrate the power of God everywhere we go. It's not about putting the Bible on your desk. It's not about wearing a cross. I wear one every day, but it's for me, not for anybody else. Because inscribed on it, it says, walk by faith. And so every day I put it on and I remind myself, I am walking by faith. You have to hunger for the presence and the power of God. And you have to allow God to use you. You can't say that was Jesus. Yes, it was, but he demonstrated it so it could be you. Paul demonstrated the power of God. Peter demonstrated the power of God. Philip demonstrated the power of God so much that he got translated from one place to another. The disciples said, one time the disciples got mad because folks was treating Jesus funny. And they said, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and handle them? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you of. Not that you couldn't call down fire. He was just saying you was of the wrong spirit for wanting to do it to them for that reason. Elijah called down fire. We read this stuff, but do we believe it? This is time for us to enlarge our perspective and expectation of the power of God and step into it and forget and remove and drop every single limitation. These mediums ain't worried about, am I going to get it right? These Ricky Stone folks ain't worried about, am I going to get it right? But believers are questioning themselves, what if it don't happen? What if it does? Lay hands on the sick like he's told you to. Step into your sphere of influence with confidence. Speak boldly when he tell you to say something. And walk down that hall and say, everywhere I go, the glory of God is just saturating this atmosphere. Every demon has to leave. You don't have to lay hands on a person every single time. Like, well, what if they don't want me to lay hands? I know they got a demon. Okay, but you could just speak. It don't even have to be loud. It can be under your breath. You can be like, I nullify your influence, you demon spirit, in the name of Jesus. Too many people have watched horror movies and have those seeds planted, so every noise they hear, they're scared and they want to run. Oh my God. Oh my God, what was that? What was that? Please let me hear a noise. What is that? There was this rap song in the 90s. I don't know why God reminded me of rap songs in the 90s. And they were like, who's that peeping through my window? And then he would go, blah, nobody now. Let something demon, something demonic jump off. Who's that doing what? Blah. With the power of God. That's what you've been assigned to do in this season. That's how the church began to advance after Jesus ascended. And this is the church that Jesus is coming back for. He's not going to look like a weak savior coming to rescue his body. Let me get you out of this mess. He's coming back to celebrate the fact that we have taken dominion and we are demonstrating his power. He's coming as a king. And you need to rise up like a king. And I'm not talking about gender, I'm talking about authority. Rise up like a king. When they tell you in school that they want kids to learn about lesbianism and transgender in kindergarten, you say, no, my child will not. That's not age appropriate anyway. When you at work and they talking about we're going to all do this ceremony to relieve stress, no, we ain't. When you go to the gym, don't do yoga. Nope, I'm good stretching out right here. And when people come to you and try to say that Christianity is judgmental, and some people will say, no offense to nobody, they'll try to say it's the white man's religion. Because they try to do that. Say, no, it's not. Or they'll try to say, oh, you're so conservative, you don't understand. You have to be free. Cut that foolishness. Because what happens is people will try to use any label they can to box you in, to make you feel like you gotta apologize for being a believer and for walking in the kingdom. When these folks are coming out saying, oh, I was born this way, or I was the wrong gender, they're not apologizing. In these business meetings, they don't even give you a heads up that they're about to do some kind of new age ceremony. They just do it. They're like, oh, our next session is. They're not apologizing. But why, as a believer, do we have to feel like we need to apologize for saying Jesus reigns? I'm not apologizing. When people talk to me about my business, I'm going to talk to them. And if Holy Spirit tell me to say something, I say it. And sometimes I say I'm a member of the kingdom, and that's just how it is. I'm not apologizing. And I have a kingdom perspective. That's just how it is. I ain't apologizing. I ain't on the foolishness. And God has called all of us. I'm done. Because I was trying to finish a long time ago. God has called all of us to stand in that kind of boldness and power. And to be discerning. See, part of that increased wisdom is the discernment to be able to know something ain't right. You ain't got to know exactly what it is, but Holy Spirit going to turn something on the inside of you and be like, something ain't right. So then you got a hobo shot. And then you start going in the spirit and praying in tongues. And even it was shot. And then you step into whatever he tells you to do. That's why people preach against tongues so much, because the devil has infiltrated that, because that's your lifeline to the supernatural. And they try to say, oh, tongues are not of today. When did that happen? When? When did Jesus say that? My God.